We'll be in the Cubbies room. We have broken up the junior church into two different groups. And so the older ones are in the fellowship hall and the younger ones are in the Cubbies room. As I was thinking, when I was told the pastor wasn't feeling well, as I was thinking of different messages that I could preach, I had one that I've had on the back burner for some time and I've just been struggling. Should I preach this to the teens? It's very helpful for teens. Should I preach this in church when I have the opportunity? And the Lord just laid it on my heart to preach this one. This is a message that can help each of us. It's a good remembrance to think about as we go about our day-to-day lives. Now, when my wife was growing up, her mom, when she would be doing something that was leading her to get in trouble or get a spanking, her mom would say, "You're aching for a break-in." And in Joshua chapter 7, we see Achan was headed towards breaking. So we'll be in Joshua chapter 7, but think about this for a minute. I am struggling with a little bit of a cold today and the past couple days because my daughter had a cold. She had a cold. She passed it to me. She passed it to her brother. Thankfully, Erica doesn't have it, but we're all struggling. We've all been affected by this because one of us was sick. And similarly in our lives, when we make decisions, when we make choices, those choices don't just affect us. When we make the choice to lash out in anger, that anger not only affects ourselves, our walk with God, but it affects the person we lash out against. Our pride can affect other people. And Achan's sin here affected not only himself, but the whole nation of Israel. And so we'll be in Joshua chapter 7. But leading up to Joshua chapter 7, we have Joshua chapter 6. God has promised to bring the Israelites into the promised land. After the generation that did not believe God, did not have the faith to go in and take the land, God took the next generation and allowed them to go into the land. And he's promised victory in the land of Canaan. And in chapter 6, we see a great victory. We see Jericho. And God told the Israelites each day for 6 days, you're going to walk around Jericho one time. And on the seventh day, you're going to walk around seven times. And the priests are going to blow their trumpets. And everyone is going to shout. And the walls are going to come tumbling down. We sing the song in junior church, "The Walls Came A-Tumbling Down." And God gave them this great victory right into Canaan land to show them that his promise was true. That he wanted them to go into this land, to take this land. And verse 27 of chapter 6 says, "So the Lord was with Joshua, and his fame was noised throughout all the country." God gave them this boost of momentum, so to speak, where the battle was won. And people all around were hearing about what had happened. You see, right now there's many people in Florida that are watching the path that a hurricane is taking. There's a hurricane coming and they're watching the path to see if they need to leave or if they need to just bunker down or what they need to do. And similarly, the people in the land of Canaan, they hear of this nation coming out of Israel and Israel or Egypt, coming out of Egypt and Egypt just being totally destroyed by the different plagues. They hear of God taking them over the Jordan, over the Red Sea as well. And they're hearing all these things, these battles that they've won in between. God is working and the people in this land are hearing this. They're watching this path and they're wondering, are they coming for us? Is this storm coming for us? Is this where we'll be judged for our sin? And the case was that it would be. They'd be judged for their idolatry and their wickedness over the years. But I wonder if we as Christians, if we are noising throughout our land what the Lord's been doing. If the world can see us and say, God's doing things. God's working. God's doing something through these people. I think especially in America, we struggle to see that because the media and all these different things, they don't talk about what the Lord is doing. But then we come to chapter 7 and we read verse 1 and it says, "But the children of Israel committed a trespass in the accursed thing." See, God just gave them this great victory. A great battle was won. And then there's this conjunction, but something's wrong. Something's not right. And you know, oftentimes in our own lives, defeat is not far from a great victory. God gives us a great spiritual victory. Oftentimes in the Bible, the land of Canaan is pictured as victorious Christian living. Egypt was a picture, God delivering us from sin, and the land of Canaan, although it was a historical place, for us today we can see it and say, this is what God wants for our lives. He wants us to go in. He wants us to have peace. God promised the Israelites that they would go into the land, that they would destroy the enemies of God, and that they would live in that land peacefully. They'd be able to serve God. And that's God's same plan for us today, that we could go into the Christian life, that we could get rid of the enemies of God, our sin, and that we could live a peaceful Christian life, victorious Christian life. But there was a problem. There was something in the camp that was holding them back. And oftentimes after a great spiritual battle, we fall into this temptation to kind of get apathetic or lackadaisical about it. And then we go into the next battle, so to speak, and we find ourselves defeated. It can also be because of pride, because we see this great battle and we take, well, you see, we just beat them. If I just overcame this, well, God will give me victory here too. And rather than seeking God, rather than going to Him for strength, we can be prideful and just move along thinking we can do it ourselves and we'll lose the battle. We see that here in the first few verses. But first, the first point is Achan was breaking others' lives and families. Achan was breaking others' lives and families. Verse 1, but the children of Israel committed a trespass in the accursed thing. For Achan the son of Carmi, the son of Zabdi, the son of Zerah, of the tribe of Judah, took of the accursed thing, and the anger of the Lord was kindled against the children of Israel. And Joshua sent men from Jericho to Ai, which is beside Beth-Aven, on the east side of Bethel, and spake unto them, saying, go up and view the country. And the men went up and viewed Ai. And they returned to Joshua and said unto him, let not all the people go up, but let about 2,000 or 3,000 men go up and smite Ai, and make not all the people to labor thither, for they are but few. So there went up thither of the people about 3,000 men, and they fled before the men of Ai. You see, Achan, when they went into Jericho, God told the people, they said, don't take any of the spoils of Jericho. The only people that were allowed to take anything out of Jericho was Rahab and her family, because God had preserved them. But all of the destruction and all the silver and gold and goods that they see laying in the destruction, they were not to take. The Bible says that was accursed. It was set aside for God. Almost like the first fruits of the victories that were to come, God set that aside for Himself. But you see, Achan thought he knew better than God. Achan said, but these things are so nice, it's a shame to leave them. And so often in our lives, sin looks better, and we often question God, well, but this looks so good. It's the same lie that Adam and Eve believed, that you'll be as gods. God's holding something back from you. Oftentimes when we're faced with sin, we look at it and we see, it seems like God's holding something back from me. It seems like I know better than God. That was what Achan believed. He believed that if he was to take these things, he knew better. But you see, he didn't know better. Because of his sin, God's plan was hindered. Verse 4, and they fled before the men of Ai. It was not God's will that they would face defeat here. I don't believe Achan was the only one here that was in the fault. I believe Joshua, if he would have sought God, God would have shown him that sin that was in the camp. They could have addressed it and moved on. But because of Achan's sin, God was not blessing them. His plan was hindered. His plan for them to move forward and to conquer this land was hindered. They ran from their enemies. And you know, so often in our lives and our walks with the Lord, our walk with the Lord can be hindered. We can put a roadblock in the way because we want sin. We would rather have that sin in the moment. And it can hinder God's work in our lives, and consequently it will affect others. Not only was God's plan hindered, God didn't give them the next victory because they had something to take care of. They had sin in the camp, but also, according to verse 5, Israelites' lives were taken. Verse 5 says, and the men of Ai smote of them about 36 men, for they chased them from before the gate, even unto Shebarim, and smote them in the going down. Wherefore the hearts of the people melted and became as water. You see, our sin, when we decide, like Achan, that we are going to partake in our sin, the sin that so easily besets us, our anger, our pride, our bitterness. When we, like Achan, do that, it doesn't just affect us, but it affects those around us. You see, that was 36 men that were killed. Not to mention however many of these were injured as well, but 36 men that if they were married, their wives didn't have a husband come home to them that night because of Achan's sin. Because he wanted to harbor these treasures that were not his. And in our lives, our sin, we are not an island. Our sin doesn't just affect us. It affects everyone around us. And even if we were on an island, our sin still affects others other than us because Jesus Christ came to die for that sin. Our sin affected the fact that God had to step down and intervene into our lives to save us from our sin. None of us are an island, though. We all have family. We all have friends. We all have, these are family, but children or parents. And if we're not careful, our sin will affect them as well. Think of the cheating spouse or the prodigal son. The parents are affected in the prodigal son. The children and the spouse are affected in the cheating spouse. Whatever it is, the angry spouse, the contentious spouse, or the disobedient teenagers or the disobedient children that don't honor their parents, more than just themselves are affected. They have the effects of the sin on themselves. They have the consequences. But the parents that are struggling to take care of those children are disobedient. Or the spouse that is loving that husband or that wife, even though they're being angry at them and tearing them down. We affect other people, no matter what we do. And the end of verse 5 says, "Wherefore the hearts of the people melted and became as water." Our sin can affect other people. These people, after the Battle of Jericho, they were full of faith. They were ready to move forward for God. But our sin can affect people's faith. Yes, they're responsible for their own faith, but we can be a stumbling block from someone moving forward for the Lord and winning battles in their own lives. How many times do we hear of leaders in churches or just people in churches that were loved, adored, and they fall into sin? They allow the sin to control them. They don't take care of the sin in the camp, and because of that, so many people fall away from the faith. And yes, those people are responsible for themselves, but our sin affects other people as well. It's easy to get discouraged when we see people we love, people we care about fall away or fall into sin. It's a struggle. These people, their hearts melted. They became as water. Because Achan was not just breaking his own life. He was not just hurting himself. He was hurting others as well. And our sin does the same thing. But there is a solution. When our sin affects others, we need to first, confess that sin to God. Take it to the Lord. Seek His forgiveness. And then we need to seek the forgiveness of those that we've affected. You know, some of us may have sin in our lives that has hurt people so badly that they might never forgive us. But our responsibility is to get that right with God. Get that sin out of the camp. And seek the forgiveness of those that were hurt. The rest is left up to them. They can choose whether to forgive or whether to hold that against you. But we have to get this right, because it's just going to make it worse if we don't. If we just keep living in our sin, continue to be angry or continue to be prideful and hurt our spouse or our children or our friends or whoever it may be, it's just going to continue to hurt them unless we see that we need to get the sin out of the camp. We need to stop hindering God's plan for our lives by holding on to our sin. We need to see that there's casualties that are happening because of our sin. But Achan was not just breaking other people's lives and families, but he was also breaking his fellowship with God. Verse 6 says, "And Joshua rent his clothes and fell to the earth upon his face before the ark of the Lord until the eventide, he and the elders of Israel, and put dust upon their heads. And Joshua said, 'Alas, O Lord God, wherefore hast thou at all brought this people over Jordan to deliver us into the hand of the Amorites to destroy us? Would to God we had been content and dwelt on the other side Jordan. O Lord, what shall I say? When Israel turneth their backs before their enemies, for the Canaanites and all the inhabitants of the land shall hear of it and shall environ us round and cut off our name from the earth. And what wilt thou do unto thy great name?' And the Lord said unto Joshua, get thee up. Wherefore liest thou thus upon thy face? You see, here's an example of someone whose heart melted. Joshua cries out to God. He rents his clothes. This was the customary way to mourn after something like this, to rent your clothes and to put dust on your head. And Joshua here, his heart has melted. Imagine leading this group of people and knowing what God had said, and then coming to find out after this first battle, we get defeated. Sometimes in our Christian lives, it's easy to get discouraged like Joshua. We see a great spiritual victory, and then there's defeat. And the reason for it is sin in the camp. There's sin in our lives, there's sin in our camp. And when we go to that next spiritual battle where the Lord is supposed to be fighting for us, we lose. You see, Joshua lost a little bit of heart here. He started to sound just like the Israelites in the desert, where they said, I would rather be in Egypt eating the cucumbers and the leeks and all these different things than being here. And Joshua questions and he says, why did you turn your back on us? It would have been better that we dwelt on the other side of Jordan. So here's another effect of our sin. It causes others to question, and oftentimes it causes us to question. Well, Lord, I'm trying to do what you said. Why did you allow this defeat to come? You say you want me to live a victorious Christian life, but then you throw this in my path. When it's not God that threw this in their path, it was their own decisions, their own choices. But we see God responds here. He says, wherefore liest thou upon thy face? Israel hath sinned, and they have also transgressed my covenant which I commanded them. For they have even taken of the accursed thing, and have also stolen and dissembled also. And they have put it even among their own stuff. Therefore the children of Israel could not stand before their enemies, but turned their backs before enemies, because they were accursed. Neither will I be with you any more, except ye destroy the accursed from among you. You see, Achan's fellowship was broken with God because he had taken those things. And to us, it may seem silly to take things to hide in a hole and to keep in a hole where we can't use them. We can't wear the garments. We can't use the silver and the gold because no one's supposed to know that we have them. But in our own lives, that's our sin. We have a little hole where our sin is, and we sit and look at it, and then we cover it up so no one else can see it. Achan broke his fellowship with God because he valued that those garments and that gold above his walk with the Lord. And you see, the Israelites were powerless as a result. Verse 12, therefore the children of Israel could not stand before their enemies. When we're out of fellowship with God, when we're walking in the flesh, we're powerless before our enemies. Our enemies aren't physical enemies like the Israelites. Our enemies, the Bible says, are princes. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but principalities and powers. We have spiritual enemies to face. We have ourself to face, our own weak flesh. And when we are living in the flesh, when we are living in sin, when we have sin in the camp, we're powerless to fight those enemies. Just like the Israelites were powerless. Why? Because John 15:5, Jesus here speaking, he says, I am the vine, ye are the branches. He that abideth in me and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit. For without me ye can do nothing. We as physical humans we're powerless against spiritual darkness without God. As we're abiding in him, as we're seeking to walk with him, he gives us that power. He gives us the power to share the gospel or to overcome sin in our own lives. Without him, we're powerless to do so. We hear all the time about these reforms in the secular world that don't work. Maybe they make changes for a period of time, but never a transformation like we hear in the church, where people's lives are changed. That's because in and of ourselves, we are powerless to overcome these things. But when we're out of fellowship with God, that's when we leave ourselves powerless. In Ephesians 6, the different things that we have to fight our enemies are spiritual. The most important, I would say, being in prayer, seeking God. It talks about in the power of his might. You know, when we are in our flesh, we're powerless because we don't have the power of the Spirit. We don't have the ability to to fight these things off by God and His grace. You see, the Israelites were powerless because of Achan's sin, because he was out of fellowship with God. But also, the Israelites were out of God's blessing. Verse 12 goes on to say, "Because they were accursed, neither will I be with you anymore, except you destroy the accursed from among you." You see, God wasn't going to bless them. God was not going to give them victory until they took care of that sin in the camp, because there was something blocking their fellowship with Him. Today, as Christians, we are promised in God's Word. Hebrews 12:6 says, "For whom the Lord loveth, He chasteneth, and He scourgeth every son whom He receiveth." As Christians, we are promised that when we are out of fellowship with God, when we're living in sin, He will chasten us. Why? Because God cannot bless us when we're in our sin. God cannot bless sin. He wants us to be in a right relationship with Him so He can bless us. And that's not like the Israelites, where we have physical blessing, where land, prosperity. No, the only physical promise of blessing we have in the New Testament is that, from what I've seen, is that of persecution. But we have so many spiritual blessings that if we're out of fellowship with God, we're missing out on. We can't live in the land in peace if we're not walking with God. Because God will be chastening us. God will be trying to bring us back to where we ought to be. And God cannot bless us while we're in our sin. The Israelites saw this firsthand. "I will be with you no more. I won't fight your battles for you." See, God will fight battles for us. God will fight our spiritual battles, but we have to take care of the sin in our life. We have to take it out of our life. But so often we'd rather have our strongholds, or like the nation of Israel does, if you continue to read Joshua, they pass by some enemies, they take others and have them pay tribute. But we're called to remove these things, to remove these strongholds in our lives so we can live peacefully. But we can't do that if we're not in fellowship with God. You see, Achan's sin was breaking other people's lives and families. Achan's sin was breaking his fellowship with God. And finally, Achan was breaking his own life. He was breaking his own life. Verse 13 says, "Up, sanctify the people, and say, sanctify yourselves against tomorrow. For thus saith the Lord God of Israel, there is an accursed thing in the midst of thee, O Israel. Thou canst not stand before thine enemies until ye take away the accursed thing from among you. In the morning, therefore, ye shall be brought according to your tribes, and it shall be that the tribe which the Lord taketh shall come according to the families thereof. And the family which the Lord shall take shall come by households, and the household which the Lord shall take shall come man by man. And it shall be that he that is taken with the accursed thing shall be burnt with fire, he and all that he hath, because he hath transgressed the covenant of the Lord, and because he hath wrought folly in Israel." So Joshua rose up early in the morning and brought Israel by their tribes. And the tribe of Judah was taken. And he brought the family of Judah, and he took the family of the Zarhites, and he brought by family of the Zarhites, man by man, and Zabdi was taken. And he brought his household man by man, and Achan, the son of Carmi, the son of Zabdi, the son of Zerah, of the tribe of Judah was taken. And Joshua said unto Achan, "My son, give, I pray thee, glory to the Lord God of Israel, and make confession unto him, and tell me now what thou hast done. Hide it not from me." I can guarantee how most of us feel when we're hiding sin in our life. As Joshua called all the people, all the nation, and the tribes went past, and all the different tribes go past until Judah, and he stops Judah. And then all the different families, and just the guilt that Achan had. Achan at any point could have come out and said, "I took of the accursed thing." But so often when we have sin in the camp, when we know of sin in our camp, when we willfully are disobeying God, we want to hide that. We want to keep that to ourselves. And just the guilt that he must have felt as all these different, the tribe, then the family, then the smaller family, and just how he felt knowing that his sin was causing all this great turmoil in this nation. But yet he didn't confess it. He didn't bring it to light. He didn't share it when he had the opportunity. He waited until he had to. And you know, Achan's sin was brought to light. Just like in our lives, if we harbor our sin, if we hide it under the tent, eventually our sin will come to light. Jesus says that which is inside will eventually come out. For out of the abundance of our heart, our mouth speaketh. How many times have we heard of people who we believe are walking with the Lord, have a close walk with Him, only to come to find out that they had sin in their life that they were hiding in their tent? I'm sure Achan acted just like any other Israelite and said, "Glory to God for Jericho, and I'm ready to face the next battle." But he had sin in his tent. There was sin in the camp that Achan was the one that was holding on to. Numbers 32:23. I'm sure as Achan was being brought forward, this probably came to mind, came to remembrance. The Bible says, "But if you will not do so, behold, you have sinned against the Lord, and be sure your sin will find you out." If we have sin in our lives, it will come out. Whether the Lord brings it to light before we pass or after we pass, when we stand before the judgment seat of Christ, we will have to give an account for it. We will have to explain that sin. Not that we'll be condemned for it, but it will come to light. And so often we just hide it under the tent thinking no one will ever find out. But it will be found out. Our sin will come to pass. But one thing that I find encouraging about this is if we seek God, maybe there's sin in the camp that we don't even know about. But if we seek God, He will show us that sin. You see, Joshua, after he questioned God, after he wondered what God was doing, God told him exactly what was wrong. God told him the sin that was in his life, or in the nation of Israel. And you see, if we call out to God and we want to know the sin that's in our life, He will show it to us. He's not going to hide that from us because He wants us to live victoriously. He will show that to us. He will reveal it to us and give us the grace by which we can eradicate that sin, get it out of our lives. But Achan didn't want to get that sin right. He didn't care to reveal that sin before it was too late. And so as we read on, Achan's life was taken for his sin. Verse 21, after Joshua says, "What have you done?" Or verse 20, "And Achan answered Joshua and said, 'Indeed, I have sinned against the Lord God of Israel, and thus have I done. When I saw among them the spoils, when I saw among the spoils a goodly Babylonish garment and 200 shekels of silver and a wedge of gold of 50 shekels weight, then I coveted them and took them, and behold, they are hid in the earth in the midst of my tent and the silver under it.'" Achan had to explain what he did after he did it. He didn't want to, but he had to. So verse 22 says, "So Joshua sent messengers, and they ran unto the tent, and behold, it was hid in his tent. And the silver under it. And they took them out of the midst of the tent and brought them unto Joshua and unto all the children of Israel and laid them out before the Lord." You see, the sin was very evident. God brought it to light and it was brought before the whole nation of Israel to see and before the Lord. "And Joshua and all of Israel with him took Achan the son of Zerah and the silver and the garment and the wedge of gold and his sons and his daughters and his oxen and his asses and his sheep and his tent and all that he had, and they brought them unto the valley of Achor. And Joshua said, 'Why hast thou troubled us? The Lord shall trouble thee this day.' And all Israel stoned him with stones and burned them with fire after they had stoned them with stones. And they raised over him a great heap of stones unto this day. So the Lord turned from the fierceness of his anger. Wherefore the name of that place was called the Valley of Achor, trouble, unto this day." You see, Achan's life was taken for his sin. Part of the problem... Part of the reason we hold on to sin is because we don't understand the destructive nature of it. We don't understand that sin is destructive. But Achan lost his life because of his sin. But more than just that, his children, his sons, his daughters, his cattle, they all lost their life because of his sin. You see, when we live in unconfessed sin, when we have sin in the camp, we run the risk of spiritually ruining our own lives, but also the lives of our spouse and children. How many children are turned away because their parents don't love the Lord or have sin in their lives? How many children walk away from God, walk away from the faith? You know, Karl Marx this man that we looked to that was one of the fathers of communism, part of the reason he walked away from any type of faith was his father. I once read a little short story about his coming up, and he lived in one place, and he was a Jew. But then he moved to Germany, and he denounced the Jewish faith because it was bad for business. And because of that, Karl Marx not only walked away from any kind of faith, but he also became a communist and wrote the Communist Manifesto. Our decisions, our sin as adults, as teenagers, as parents, as spouses, can not only spiritually ruin our lives, but spiritually ruin the lives of others. Achan's children probably knew about the sin, and they saw what was happening, and it ruined their lives. But I'm thankful that the Bible, we don't have to live a spiritually ruined life. Our sin doesn't have to define us. We can get rid of the sin in the camp. 1 John 1:9 says, if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Our sin doesn't have to break our lives. Our sin doesn't have to ruin the lives of others that we love. We can get rid of that sin and allow the Lord to give us the victory in other areas of our life so that we can live a victorious Christian life. But the question is, are you aching for a break-in? Is your sin leading you to destruction spiritually and your family to spiritual destruction? Or are your choices causing you to grow in the Lord, causing you to walk closer to the Lord? Let's pray. Dear Lord, I thank you for this day. Thank you for your word. And Lord, this is such a great reminder to us as Christians. As we still struggle with our sin nature, we still struggle with our flesh. And Lord, I pray that as we go through this struggle, we would realize that there's something greater at stake than just some consequences that we have to deal with. Lord, I pray that if we're on the road to breaking, Lord, I pray that you would intervene, show us that sin in our lives. Help us to confess that sin and to make it right in any way that we need to, Lord. Lord, I pray for each family that's represented here, and Lord, just the different things that they all face. Lord, I pray that they would take this to heart. I pray the Holy Spirit would use this, as it's made an impact in my life. Help us to start seeing the destructive nature of sin rather than just the pleasure of sin. Your word says sin is pleasurable, but it says so much more about how destructive it is. So Lord, I pray that as we go about this week, this month, Lord, that we would understand our sin has consequences and our sin affects others as well. Lord, I pray that you would just be with us now during this time of invitation. In Jesus' name I pray.
All right, let's all stand. For our invitational, we'll sing Wonderful Peace. And if the Lord is speaking to your heart this morning, the altar is open to you. Page 470. Far away in the depths of my spirit tonight rose a melody sweeter than song. In a celestial light strains it unceasingly fell over the soul like an infinite calm. Peace, peace, wonderful peace, coming down from the Father. Power can mine it away.
come for the offering, just a couple announcements. Tonight there's no Awana or evening service for Labor Day weekend. We want you to get some rest, enjoy time with your family, and so no evening service, so therefore no Awana as well. Next Sunday, we will have the normal men's prayer time, but we will be bumping it to 9:30. So the men's prayer will start at 9:30 in pastor's office rather than 9:45. The Diamond Excursion is September 13th, and you're going to meet at the Millbrook Theater at 7:15. The cost is $12. There's more information in the lobby. You can sign up in the lobby if you haven't yet. Diamond Dinner is September 27th at 6 p.m. So I always hear those are good, but I'm not a diamond yet, so I have to go through a little more process to get there. So 6 p.m., though, you'll enjoy that. The teen canoeing trip is Saturday, September 14th at 11 a.m. We'll meet at the church and we'll go down. We're going to be canoeing down the Coosa, so that'll be a good time. Brother Mike, would you pray for the offering?
Lord, we are grateful and thankful, God, that, well, Toby, he answered the call, Lord, and increased the word of God to us, Lord. You may not always like what it says, but we always should be willing to obey. So help us to do that, God. We thank you for using it. Lord, for all things that we're about to give, Lord, it all belongs to you. Lord, we just ask for a small portion of that. So help us to give cheerfully and willingly.